All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for baseball tonight. We're going to go down to Petco and bring in Jesse Agler. He is the play-by-play voice of the San Diego Padres on the radio. He works with Tony Gwynn Jr., who will be on with Bill tonight on the Extra Inning Show. Jesse, how are you?
I'm doing great, Marty. Thanks for having me, and great to talk to you.
Come on. I'm thrilled to have you on. You and I have the Miami connection.
Yes, we do. You did the law school thing, which is far more impressive than what I did, I assure you.
What was your major at Miami?
Political science and English. So I've used very little of all of that, I guess.
All right. Well, that's very good. And plus, before we get into baseball, the Dolphins, you work for the Dolphins and many different capacities on the air. And, of course, for me, the Dolphins, I just think of number 22 going around the end, led by number 66.
Mercury Morris and Larry Little, not bad at all. And that was definitely one of the highlights of my time working for the Dolphins, was getting to know some of those guys. You know, Marino, obviously, being a child of the 80s. But, you know, that organization has always done such a great job. They continue to also of keeping the old players around. And you know, Kimbo Camper is a Bay Area guy and a great linebacker for them in the 80s. And all the 72 guys that would be around. It was neat to not only, you know, meet them, but get to know them, become friends with some of them. And, you know, there's a great history there. There really is.
Well, Jesse, with the background of political science and English, how did you get into broadcasting? How did that come about?
I mean, it's what I've always wanted to do. The major in college was basically like what classes are going to keep me interested. But while in school, I was all over student radio, broadcasting games, all the sports that I possibly could, you know, from women's basketball to baseball to football, which was obviously a lot of fun. When I was there, the baseball and football programs at Miami were both, you know, just top tier, national championships and that kind of thing. So great experience. I mean, I always tell people I was probably 6 or 7 years old the first time I realized this is what I wanted to do with my life, and I've pretty much dedicated myself to doing so ever since.
Boy, beautiful. All right, now play-by-play voice of the San Diego Padres. You worked with the Padres for a number of years with Ted Leitner and, of course, the Colonel Jerry Coleman. This has been some year for you with the Padres, and, of course, maybe the last 2 years have been amazing with A.J. Preller, the way he's put this team together.
Yeah, it's been different. I mean, there's no question about it. And you know, you talk to people who are longtime Padres fans, and, you know, this is my 8th year here, so I certainly don't feel like a novice in terms of my understanding of the history of this organization. But, you know, for me, it feels like such a big difference. And then you start talking to people who have been fans since 1969, or even people who have been fans since 1990. And it's just such a very different thing, not only because the team is good, they've had good teams here before, but it really seems like it's set up for the long-term sustainability. And that hasn't always been the case here. You know, they've had their pops of success, but I don't think necessarily at any point did it feel like, you know, there was at least the potential for the birth of a dynasty. And look, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. They're going to win a World Series before we can have that conversation seriously. But they are set up to have a decade that could be very, very fruitful. And I don't know that that's ever happened before in the history of this organization.
You think this team is relaxed and they understand what you just said, or do they have the pressure on them early in the year?
I think they're really relaxed. And look, that comes with the caveat of, you know, not being able to go in the clubhouse like normal because of COVID protocols. But, you know, everything I'm seeing is a team that, you know, probably won a couple fewer games than most people would have anticipated in the month of April. And they don't seem to have any concern about that whatsoever. And to me, that's good because they shouldn't be worried about that. It's 1 month in a long season. I think, you know, a lot of fans and maybe even as broadcasters, you know, we forget how weird last year was and how different it was with just the 2 month season and how every game was worth, what is it, 2.7 times, you know, what it normally was. And we read a little bit too far into every win and every loss a year ago. Now we're back to normal and we're back to the marathon and not the sprint. And 6 months is an awful long time. And, you know, the standings on May 1st, do they mean nothing? No. But do they mean everything? Absolutely not. And, you know, I think the Padres are set up in a good position. They've not played their best baseball by any stretch of the imagination. They've had some injury stuff, nothing, you know, too crazy, which is obviously critical at this point. But they're certainly set up to be better moving forward than they have been in April. And they're obviously very much in the thick of it anyway.
Well, the Dodgers series was fabulous and the Giants series is fabulous. And I don't know if everyone expected the Giants series to be a three. If you score 3 runs, you win the game. And the Dodgers series, if you play 12 innings, you win the game. So these two teams have really been interesting against the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, they're great games. And, you know, I know everybody wants to do the rivalry talk and, you know, what's the big rivalry, everything like that. I kind of put that a little bit on the side burner, if not the back burner, because they've been entertaining games. They've been great games. They've been close games. You know, I mean, the Giants and Padres, it seems like ever since I've been here, they've played tight, low-scoring games against one another. You know, I can remember all kinds of, you know, wacky endings. Last year, Trent Grisham hitting a walk-off home run at Oracle Park. I remember a ball, I think, that Hunter Pence hit a few years ago that was dropped in extra innings, maybe to give the Giants a 2-1 win or a 1-0 win on a play that should have been made. You know, I mean, that's what happens. You get these small margins in these low-scoring, tight games. And to me, that's baseball at its best. You get great starting pitching on both sides, and that makes every pitch so critical. That makes every at-bat so fun to watch. And it seems like what the Giants and Padres have provided one another for several years now, even when the Padres weren't as good as they are. And then, yeah, the Dodger games, I mean, I don't even know how to describe them other than October-like. I mean, they're just relentless and exhausting and daunting and so evenly played. I think the Padres and Dodgers could each make the argument they should be 7-0 against the other one so far this year. But obviously it's gone 4-3 in favor of the Padres at this point. And, I mean, look, everybody saw those games or saw the highlights of those games and read about those games. I don't know that there's anything I can add. I've never seen anything like that in April before.
Boy, amazing. You know, it's funny, Posey's home run last night reminded me of one he hit against the Padres down the right field line. I think it was against Latos. It was a big home run, and he just put it right in the seats down the right field line. I remember that. And then, of course, Ruff last night. I mean, if you talk about a crazy part of a game, you know, listening, it's all of a sudden it's 5-3, and wait a minute, it's not 5-3. It's still 3-1. The ball was foul. How about that? How did you deal with that on the air?
Yeah, luckily, I guess, for us was that, you know, being there, we could see everything. And you could kind of tell from a body language standpoint that the first base umpire, Ryan Added, he wasn't fully confident in the call. It wasn't like the most, you know, clear home run, fair ball signal that I've ever seen. And I think he probably missed it or maybe didn't see it, you know, all that well. So he was a little hesitant and not as demonstrative as you might expect in that situation. And then Hosmer, the first baseman, Cronenworth, the second baseman, they were very demonstrative almost immediately, saying, no way, that's a foul ball. So you kind of got the sense, you know, even as Ruff was on his way to first base holding his bat, that something might be up with that. And I tell you what, you know, Darren Ruff has played only a couple of games at Petco Park this year. He's been involved in two very weird home run or near home run moments because in the first game that Blake Snell started against the Giants in April, he hit the home run that went in and out of the glove of Jorge Mateo in center field and then over the fence. So I don't know what's going on with Darren Ruff and Petco Park so far this year, but I look forward to seeing what's next.
Well, you'll probably see him tonight. I know I have the lineup around here somewhere, but I assume he's in there tonight against the lefty Blake Snell. Interesting that you got to – well, let me start with this one. You talk on the air about Ewing. Ewing, I thought you were talking about Patrick Ewing, but it's not. It's you, Darvish, and you've got mooing. And you've got all sorts of noises coming on the broadcast.
We're having fun. You know, it last year, obviously the great disappointment, and this goes for every team in the league, but I think particularly for the Padres, who are a playoff team for the first time in 14 years, you know, you missed the fans so much. And it became so obvious so quickly last year that this is just not the same. It's just not as much fun without people in the ballpark. And, you know, now we're up to 33% capacity here, last homestand and this homestand. So it's about, I think, 15,250, they say, is like the official attendance number. But it's been so remarkable hearing them sound like 40,000. And they've been so into it in a way that, quite frankly, I've never seen in my time here. And, of course, the team is much better than any other team in my previous seven seasons, not counting last year without the fans. And so to feel the energy of the ballpark and the way they're getting behind Darvish and the way they're applauding these guys and the ovation that Joe Musgrove got, you know, in his first appearance after throwing that no-hitter in Texas. You know, I mean, I'm just throwing as much adulation and attention on the fans as possible because it's so different in such a great way and has really made it that much more fun.
Well, you mentioned the no-hitter, 250 games, no-hitters, and all of a sudden you had one. And I listened to you on the radio. It was a fabulous call.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I mean, just from the behind the curtain broadcast stuff, you know, as you mentioned, Ted Leitner retired after last year, and Ted did 41 seasons with the Padres, never called a no-hitter. And somewhere around the seventh inning off the air, I turned to Tony, my partner, and to Dave Marcus, our producer, and I thought, I said out loud to them, I said, oh, gosh, poor Ted, what's happening? It was only the eighth game of the season. And, you know, Ted had done 41 years, God knows how many games in those seasons. And, you know, here he was about to miss this no-hitter. So he was one of the people on my mind most the last couple innings of the game. And he was one of the first texts I got after the game. And it was a funny text. And if people know Ted, they certainly know his sense of humor. But, you know, he couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe it. But it was a very, very nice message that he sent. And, yeah, I mean, for Joe Musgrove, you got storybook and then you got whatever this was. You know, I think the thing that I've said most in referencing it the last few weeks now is worth the wait. You know, I think for the Padres, there's a little bit of like the prodigal son returning home. And, you know, it could have been some random guy at some point. Odrisimer Despaigne took a no-hitter deep against the Mets here a few years ago. And it could have been him, and everyone would have been happy about that. And it could have been a combined no-hitter with four or five relievers in a bullpen game. You know, it could have been something weird happening. But for it to be Joe Musgrove, a hometown kid, doing it all by himself, I think made it that much more special. And not that I'd change anything, but the only thing you would change is that, you know, it could have been in San Diego in front of 40,000 people, but beggars can't be choosers at this point. And it was just a remarkable bit of history to be able to witness.
Good first month of baseball. Baseball needs it. We all need it. And this was a good first month of baseball. We'll see where it goes after that. Blake Snell tonight doesn't go very deep in the game, throws a lot of pitches. Lefties can't touch him. Then on the other side is this DeSclafani with the running fastball. This is should be a very close game. Again, a 3-2 game again.
Yeah, it's got to be 3-1 or 3-2. That seems to be the rule with these two teams so far this year. You know, Snell, I thought the last start he had the opportunity to get a bit deeper really for the first time. You know, and just to clear it up, I mean, this is not a Tampa Bay thing that's going on here where they're pulling him, you know, doctrinally or anything like that. They're pulling him because his pitch count has gotten, you know, high early. And that's his own doing. And you mentioned the walks. They've been up for him in a way that I think is probably uncomfortable and counterproductive. But that last start against the Dodgers over the weekend, I thought he had a chance to go a little bit deeper. And it was what, you know, I thought was an early hook. Obviously, they have their reasons and they have their prerogative. But, you know, I think we were getting closer to seeing Blake work a little bit deeper into a game. And I'm sure he'll try and build on that tonight. And you know, maybe for the first time this year, get through a full six innings.
Padres have not listed a starter for tomorrow. What goes on tomorrow?
You know, that's a really good question. And, you know, media was asking Jace Tingler about it on a Zoom call about an hour or so ago, and he gave nothing. I mean, not an inch, not a hint. I guess the obvious choices are Joe Musgrove. You know, it's his day, theoretically. But Denelson Lamet is eligible to come off the injured list after his 10 days. He's a possibility. So, you know, my guess would be either one of those two guys or they try and piece together some kind of bullpen day. You know, I mean, they've not necessarily said that something is wrong with Musgrove, but it's also a little bit weird that he wouldn't go tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I think my guess is it'll be one of those two guys. And at this point, you know, you might as well flip a coin. It might be really about how Lamet feels as much as anything else.
Boy, how bad is Weathers' injury? He was just outstanding in his couple of starts that I got to see.
Yeah, so far they seem somewhat positive about it. They seem optimistic. You know, we'll wait and see, and it's kind of the way I feel about Lamet. You know, there's really no way to know until he goes back out there and tries to pitch. You know, and he said it was just a little bit sore. You know, nothing apparently showed up swelling-wise that was a concern with the elbow for Weathers. So, you know, look, if it's a hiccup, you know, kind of dead arm thing and he misses a start or two, that's pretty much a best-case scenario anytime you see a guy with a drop in velocity like that. So we'll see. He's really fun to watch pitch. He's a throwback, which shouldn't be a surprise. You know, we know about his dad, of course, and his long major league career. But, I mean, he gets it. He throws it. He throws strikes. He's not afraid of anything. He doesn't care that he's 21 years old. And, you know, it's a throwback experience watching him pitch in a very entertaining way.
Yeah, he's terrific. He just takes it and throws it. And he looks like his old man, too. So that helps, too. Hey, Jess, thanks for being on with us. Jesse Agler, of course, play-by-play voice of the San Diego Padres on the radio. Tony Gwynn Jr. out there, you guys do a great job. Tony is so forthright about the game of baseball. You guys do a nice job together.
Oh, really appreciate that. Thank you. And, you know, we had done some games together before this year, but this is kind of our, you know, first full-time partnership. And we're both, I'll speak for him, you know, enjoying it tremendously. And, you know, we're friends on the air and off, which always helps. And we both love baseball. So it's just a couple of, you know, baseball nerds talking about the game for 3.5 hours every night. And what could be bad about that? Thank you.
Nothing. No, it comes across real well. And you got Dave Marcus helping you.
Oh, I mean, nobody better. Except Darren Chan. Sorry, Darren.
Right. All right. Hey, Jess, have a great night tonight, and we'll catch up with you again. It's a pleasure having a Dolphin on there, a Hurricane, and everything else, and a Marlin. So it's good to have
you
on.
There you go. All right. My pleasure, Marty. Thank you.
Have a good night. Okay, that is Jesse Agler. More coming up. Bill Carey and I'll chat, and we've got that coming up right after this.